deliver it, Lord, as I ought to. Help it to flow and give your people, Lord, hearing ears and a receiving heart. Cause this word, Lord, to fall on good ground so that it would bring forth fruit, Lord, in the lives of your children. Thank you once again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I looked up a few jokes. I haven't told a joke in a long time. And I hope it's funny. I hope they're funny. They're little snippets. A Sunday school teacher asked the children just before she dismissed them to go to church. And why is it necessary to be quiet in church? One child jumped up and said, because people are sleeping. At Sunday school, they were learning how God created everything, including human beings. Johnny was especially intent when the teacher told him how Eve was created out of one of Adam's ribs. Later in the week, his mom noticed him lying down as though he were ill and clutching his side. Johnny, what's the matter? She asked. Johnny responded, I have a pain in my side. I think I'm going to have a wife. Okay. I know the guys would probably agree with that. A funeral service was being held in a church for a woman who had just passed away. At the end of the service, the pallbearers carrying the casket accidentally bumped into a wall, jarring the casket. They heard a faint moan. Upon opening the casket, they found the woman alive. She lived for 10 more years and then died again. Another ceremony is held at the same church, and at the end of the pallbearers are carrying the casket out. As they're walking, the husband yells out, "Watch out! Don't bump the wall!" Okay. One last joke. It was Palm Sunday, but because of a sore throat, 5-year-old Johnny stayed home from church with a sitter. When his family returned home, they were carrying several palm branches. Johnny asked them, what are these for? People held them over Jesus' head as he walked by, his father told him. Wouldn't you know it, Johnny fumed. The one Sunday I don't go to church, he shows up. Okay, so we're teaching on prayer. You know, not long ago, I was talking to a young lady, and she, you know, she was sharing some things with me, and she asked me, since God is omnipotent and he knows everything, he sees everything, he's everywhere, why do we have to pray? Why can't he just meet our needs? Why do we have to pray? You know, I didn't tell her this, but there were a few times when I asked myself in my, you know, younger years, why do we have to pray? Why do we always have to pray? And I'm sure that you know, many of you probably have asked that question from time to time. Why do we have to pray? Why can't God just meet our needs? He knows that I have this need. He knows that I need to be healed. Why can't he just heal me? He knows that I have to make this decision. Why can't he just tell me what to do? Wouldn't it be nice? You know, I think it would. You know, if we have a need and bam, it's there. Or we're sick, bam, we get healed. We have to make a decision, don't know what to do, bam. You know, we know what to do. I think life would be wonderful. Don't you agree? Wrong. It does not work that way. You know, there's a reason why God set things up the way he did. He's an all-wise God. He knows everything. He does not make mistakes. And prayer, as I'm going to try to show you tonight, is what helps us to grow in the things of God. You know, I've been through some things in my short life. And even though if I had a choice to go back to relive those years, I'm not quite sure that I would choose to go through those things, to go down that path, because they were difficult, they were hard, they were painful. But you know what? It was because of the difficulties, it was because of the pain, it was because of the struggle that made me the person I am today. Yeah. It was because of the challenges, you know, that I had to pray, didn't have no choice. There was no one to help me. You know, when you're living in a foreign country, you don't have a lot of the advantages and things that, you know, that are over here. And there are no crutches. You know what I mean? There's no one to ask for anything. You know, I can't call up Uncle John or Aunt Susie and say, could you send me $500 or, you know, no. You know, when there's a bill to be paid, a financial need, I either have it or I don't. And if I don't have it, I have to trust God to meet that need, you know. And it was in those times, those formative years, that the Lord showed himself strong and mighty to me. It was during those times that my faith grew. I doubt whether I would have been the person I am today had I not had those struggles, you know. So prayer, there's a reason for prayer, and God knew it. And so I'm going to try to give some examples of the benefits of prayer. Now Jesus, he's the perfect example. We'll all agree on that, won't we? He is the Son of God, and he prayed all the time. You know, I have some scriptures that I looked up. I'm going to come back to that one later. Let's go to Matthew 26:36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. Verse 39, and he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not I will, but as you will. Matthew, same chapter 26, verse 42, and he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, my Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. Mark 1:35. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was there praying. He got up while it was still dark. You know, I've discovered that early in the morning is the best time to pray. There are no distractions, there are no phones, you know, no text messages, hopefully. It's you know, nobody running around the house wanting your attention, asking you where this is or that is, or asking you to do anything for them, you know, because everybody's asleep. You know, the place is quiet, and you can commune with God during those quiet times. It's difficult to get up, you know, at 4 in the morning or at 5 in the morning. I remember one time I had a brilliant idea to ask the Holy Spirit to wake me up at 4 o'clock so I can pray. What do you know? At 4 o'clock, woke me up. So Jesus got up, you know, while it was dark to pray. And he is our example. Let's move on. Mark 6:46. After bidding them farewell, he left for the mountain to pray. Luke 5:15, but Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Sometimes you have to slip away. Sometimes you just have to shut things down, you know, to pray. I can't remember where I heard it, maybe on TV, or it might be something that pastor told about this lady who had all these children, a whole bunch of them, And in the wherever she was in the kitchen or wherever, she would just pull her apron over her head. She would just cover her head. And she would just stand there with her head covered. And her kids knew not to bother her. She was praying.
Right.
That was the only time that she could find to pray. And of course, you know, those of us who are mothers, and you have a bunch of kids, you know how difficult it is, you know. When my kids were younger, the two older ones, I used to tell them sometimes, okay, I'm praying, don't bother me. Why did I even bother? You know? Sure enough, somebody's knocking the door, Mom, you know, Petal is coming, he did this to me, and you know, can I get an icicle? I mean, you know, I just told them, this is my prayer time, don't bother me. But you know, kids, you know, there's no hiding place when you're a mom. So sometimes you have to slip away. You know, you have to, you know, shut things down, turn off the TV. And these days that we live, you know, our phone, a lot of us, you know, we're tied to our phones. Sometimes we just have to shut that phone down. You know, don't check their emails, don't check Twitter, don't check Facebook. You know, slip away and spend some time with God. Jesus had to do it. People were always talking to him, wanting something from him, wanting to be healed, you know, wanting, you know, all these different requests. Luke 6:12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. He spent the whole night in prayer. How many times do we do that? Spend a whole night in prayer. You know, there are going to be times when we are going to have to spend time in prayer. You know, depending on the situation that we're facing or what it is we need from God, an hour of prayer or two isn't going to cut it. We are going to have to spend time in prayer. You know, Jesus had to do it a whole night, and we're not better than him. He is our Lord and Master. And we are his servants, and if he had to spend time in prayer a whole night, you know, we're going to have to do it. You know, we're just going to have to sacrifice that sleep. I remembered when I was a baby Christian. I hadn't thought about this in years. And I used to try to pray about 9 o'clock in the morning. And so this particular morning, I was kneeling by my bed in my room, and I started to pray. But I don't know what happened. It's as though my mind became, you know, foggy. I just found myself repeating the same thing over and over and over again. I wanted to get past this particular, you know, part of my prayer, but I couldn't think. I literally felt like that as I prayed, like somebody was catching my words and flinging it back at me. You know, my words were just being flung back at me. Has anybody ever experienced that? I mean, it was a struggle. It was a real struggle. And I didn't know what was going on. You know, I was a baby Christian. I hadn't been saved that long and didn't know anything about warfare, you know, spiritual warfare. But we used to sing this hymn. You know, it was Holiness Church, and we had these hymnals that we used to sing from. And there was a song that came to me. And it had these words that said, the angels resounded as I prayed through. And it was as though something from deep inside was propelling me to pray through, you know. And so I knelt on my bed on the floor. And let me tell you, that floor was hard. For some reason, I didn't have the foresight to put a pillow, you know. So my knees were hurting me. And I was a baby Christian, and I probably used to pray maybe 10, 15 minutes. So when I found myself in this struggle, it was hard, you know? But I stayed there anyway, you know, I was shifting from one knee to the next, and I'm determined. I didn't know what was going on, but I was determined. I'm going to pray through. I am going to pray through. The angels are going to resound because I am going to pray through. And I don't know, it was probably maybe an hour, I have no idea. But to me, it was like an eternity. And while I was there struggling, suddenly a presence, another presence came into my room. It was a holy presence. And simultaneously as that presence came in, the whatever was there before me, I felt it leave, just like that. It was gone. And all of a sudden, it was like the roof just parted. And my prayers just seemed to be getting through, you know, and I felt like, you know, like I was getting the green light to everything that I've said. I mean, it was amazing. Oh my God, it was so amazing. I prayed through, I got the break, you know. Of course, later on, you know, as I grew, I realized it was the enemy that was resisting me that morning, you know. He was resisting my prayer. I mean, and let me tell you, it was not a good feeling. It was the most awful feeling. You know, I felt like my words were being flung back at me. I couldn't think. You know, I just kept repeating the same thing over and over and over. But you know, if I did not labor in prayer that morning, if I did not insist, you know, press my way through, I would have never experienced that victory. Never. You know, sometimes we give up too soon. Sometimes we just have to hang in there. You know, some of us have been praying for unsaved loved ones, you know, 5 years, 10 years, how long, and you know, we're beginning to feel like, what's the purpose of praying? God isn't answering my prayer. No, don't give up. Hang in. Press your way through, you know. Give the devil a black eye. God is going to answer you. You're going to get your breakthrough. I got my breakthrough that morning. I mean, it was the most incredible feeling. When I arose from my knees, I felt like I was walking on air. You know, I felt like I had this feeling that, you know, of accomplishment. Like I can, you know, I just climbed Mount Everest or something. I mean, I felt like a champion, a real champ, you know. God gave me the victory because I prayed through. I held my ground. I didn't give up. That enemy that was trying to discourage me, you know, when the presence, that was the presence of the Lord that came in, you know, that time. And of course, he flew out. He wanted nothing to do with God. And I got the victory. So, you know, because of it, because of that experience, it grew my faith. My faith became stronger. I learned something. I learned that if I don't give up, that I will get the victory. And you know, you guys may not know this, but I don't like to lose. I'm a sore loser. You know. Sometimes, you know, when the kids would come and, you know, we're playing Monopoly. Monopoly is one of our favorite games. And don't tell them this, but sometimes I will cheat. You know, if the banker isn't paying attention, you know, a couple of $100 will disappear, you know. And so, you know, as the game progresses, you know, I'm buying up all the, you know, the boardwalk and Park Avenue and all the, with stolen funds, you know. And then somebody will catch on. And they say, Mom, you're cheating, you know. And then, of course, because I'm not cheating, you know. Or where you get all this money from? And, oh, well, this was my strategy, you know. And so, you know, we'll go back and forth, and, you know, for this game. And it's not unusual for me to just upset the whole board game, you know. Matthew does that too. He is king for doing that. If he can't win, I'll just upset the whole board so nobody wins. I'd rather do that than lose. Because, you know, in my family, they don't know how to win graciously. You know, they win and you hear about it for the rest of the year, you know. So I cheat. Getting back to my lesson. You know, you want to win in life? You have to learn how to win in prayer. You have to learn how to stay on your knees. I know a lot of people don't kneel these days, you know, but you know, back in those days, you know, you had to kneel to pray. But we can pray anywhere, in our car, we can pray when we're taking a shower, we can pray anywhere. And you know, we just have to press our way through. And when we do, we'll win. You know, that morning when I prayed through and I got the victory, it did something for me spiritually. It really did. I didn't realize it at the time, but it made me stronger. So that's one of the benefits of prayer. It will make you stronger. You become a threat, a real threat to Satan. Sad to say, some of us Christians, we're not too much of a challenge to Satan because, you know, we don't have much of a prayer life, you know. But you develop a prayer life, you know, Satan will take notice. Another reason to pray, it grows our relationship with God. As his children, we need to develop a relationship with him. Developing a relationship with God is important if we're going to be victorious. We have to know our God. We have to know him. Know that we know that we know. All right? And the only way to do that is through prayer. If you live in a neighborhood and you don't know your neighbors and your neighbors don't know you, you don't have a relationship with them. I don't have a relationship with my neighbors. My husband, of course, he knows everybody. Philip knows everybody. When Matthew was in school, I used to tell him, you better not go out there acting the fool because you know your father's going to find out he knows everybody. He knows you're Gittins' son. You know, Gittins is an uncommon name here. And you're Gittins, are you Gittins? Are you Sergeant Gittins' son? So, you know, I used to tell him that, you know, help keep him on the straight and narrow. But my husband knows everybody in our neighborhood. Sadly enough, I don't. I know the neighbor across the street, but I don't know the people, you know, on the side of me. I just don't know them. A lot of times I'm driving out my neighborhood and different ones are waving at me from a truck or something. And of course, you know, I wave back. And then I say, Lord, I have no idea who that is. That's a shame. You know, we should know our neighbors. But if we don't develop, put that effort into knowing them, you know, and they don't know us, you know, we don't know each other. We don't know anything about them. We don't, as the children of God, we don't want to be like that, not having a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Having a relationship with our Father is important. Do you know why it's important? Because there's an enemy out there. And if we don't know God, if we don't know what our God is able to do, he'll lie to us, he'll deceive us, he'll discourage us. You know, he'll steal our peace, he'll steal our joy. But when we know that we know that we know what God is able to do, because he did it before. You know, he delivered us when it seems like we were going under before. He met that need that we didn't think we were going to be able, you know, to pay that bill. He provided for those kids when we didn't know how we were going to put clothes on their back, when we didn't know how we were going to feed them, you know. If you don't have that relationship, you don't have that experience, when the trials of life come, you know, and the storms come blowing at your door, you don't know what God is going to do. I don't know, maybe not, he might, you know, but we don't have that confidence. As Christians, we're supposed to be confident. We're supposed to have confidence in our God, confidence in who we serve, you know. And the only way to know that is to build a relationship. And the only way to build that relationship is through prayer, talking to God, communing with him. And it's not a one-way street, it's a two-way street. You know, when we pray, you know, a lot of us just jump up and leave and rush off to whatever. But really, we're supposed to listen. You know, God may want to say something to us, and then we're out the door, and he's like, wait, wait, where are you going? You know, we're gone, you know? And then when he does speak, we're not sure, is that you, God? You know? John 10:27. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So as a sheep, it's our benefit to know the voice of our Heavenly Father. You know? We have kids, those of us who have kids, we know the voice of our kids. When my daughter was born, she's the oldest one, and I took her home from the hospital, as soon as Petal cried, I mean as soon as she made the slightest song, I was up. No matter how deep in the sleep I was, the moment that child cried, I woke up. Sometimes she didn't even have to cry. If she was awake, when Michael came, you know, he'd be in his crib. I'd have him in his crib in our room. And he would wake up about 12:15 in the morning on the dot. This child would wake up. And the minute he woke up, I woke up. Don't ask me how. I just woke up. I knew. And I would see his little head bobbing, you know, up and down. You know, he's going like this. I knew he was up, you know. Because, you know, that was my son, you know. And we had that bond. And so when he awoke, I awoke. When Petal, you know, my husband and I took her to dedicate her, every time the pastor held her, she'd cry. Our eyes are closed now. They're closed tight. But the moment he held her, she knew. And she'd start crying. He gave her back to me. She quiet down. I hand her over back. You know. She knew. She knew how I held her. Well, as children of God, don't you think we should know that? You know, when God is speaking, you know, when somebody is speaking something to us, aren't we supposed to know if this is God? You know? We should. So why don't we? You know? We need to know his voice. Shepherd that's tending his sheep, the sheep, they know their shepherd. They know the shepherd's voice. You could have a whole bunch of shepherds. You could have 5, 6 shepherds together with their sheep. And as each shepherd go into different direction, those sheep that belong to that shepherd will follow that shepherd. That's just how it is. They know their shepherd. They know his voice. Right? When we spend time in prayer with God, communing with him, we get to know the voice of God. You know, the enemy will try to imitate. Because that's what he does. He's a great imitator. He's always trying to deceive us, always trying to fool us. But when we build a relationship with God, we can recognize his voice. No matter how Satan tried to disguise stuff, something inside of us is going to not feel right. You know, a lot of times we get that thing in here and we're like, I don't know about this. You know, we need to listen to it. You know, it's the Holy Spirit inside of us, you know, that's talking. So that's another benefit, you know, helping us to know God's voice, so that we're not deceived, so that we're not led astray. The stronger our relationship, the easier it is to know his voice. So prayer not only builds our relationship with God, which is very important, but it helps us to recognize his voice when he speaks. There are many voices out there in the world. And as the people of God, we need to know which voice to listen to. Because as it says in John 10:10, the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill and to destroy. This is Jesus speaking. And he said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Those are some of the benefits of prayer. Building our relationship, you know, with God, and you know, it builds our faith. You know, it really does build our faith. And don't think that Satan is going to come and test you. He did it to Jesus. If he did it to him, he'll do it to us. And he knew fully well who Jesus was. You know, may some people say that he didn't know. But I believe, in my opinion, I believe he fully knew. He knew. And he was just hoping to trip him up, you know, by challenging him. If you're the Son of God, do this. If you're the Son of God, you know, he's daring him. You know, why don't you jump off of this cliff? You know, it is written that the angels will bear you up. You know, if you're the Son of God, prove yourself. We don't have to prove ourselves to him. He is nothing, you know. But we know who our God is because we experience him. We get to experience him when we talk to him. You know, God will talk to you. He'll tell you things. I mean, and he has a humor. He has a sense of humor sometimes, you know. And he'll reveal things to you. One time, this guy lied to me. He had borrowed a tape. Back in the days, it was tape. And he said he had to go on some Christian thing. He had to take these church people, and he liked this tape, and he wanted to play it on the trip. So I loaned him the tape. Several weeks went by, and I asked him for my tape, and he said, somebody off the bus stole it. And while he was telling me, the Holy Spirit was saying, lie. He took it. He liked it and decided to keep it. And I'm looking at him, you know, eye to eye, and he had no idea what the Holy Spirit just told me. I knew the voice of God. I knew that God is the one who told me that he stole it. I didn't argue about it. I said, Lord, if he likes it that much, maybe you can use it to get him saved or something. So I left him with it, you know. But see, I had that relationship. You know, and when the Holy Spirit spoke, I recognized his voice. Amen. When we know God's voice, we have that relationship, it becomes very difficult for the enemy to pull the wool over our eyes. So next time we'll continue and we'll look at some more on the benefits of prayer. I hope this lesson was a blessing, and I started on it Friday night, and then I put it down, and then I picked it up yesterday late afternoon, and then the storm just come and ruined everything because the power went out and the computer shut down, so this is all I had.